The Lord has been very good and very gracious to me in my life, and one of the blessings that God has given me in my life is the privilege and the opportunity to be able to travel to a lot of different places to teach and to preach God's Word. And travel is one of those things that, you know, it sounds fun until you do a little bit, and then it loses its glamour real quickly. And one of the particular parts of travel that I always hated was when you would fly into a new city that you'd never been in before, and you get the rental car, and you're supposed to find where you're supposed to go. And that always used to trouble me. I don't drive a lot because my wife, Christy, who's up here at the front, she has vertigo, and so she drives most of the places we go because it bothers her not to be behind the wheel. At least that's the story that she tells me. And so she drives just about everywhere we go. So I'm going to be one of those guys. I'm going to get old one day and I'm not going to be able to drive at all because my wife drives just about all the time. But so I would get into these airports and get the rental cars. Used to always hate that. And then they came out with this wonderful, amazing invention called the GPS. What a great invention. How many of you use those GPS systems? All right, isn't that amazing? Do you know that the GPS system was invented by the United States Department of Defense and cost $12 billion taxpayer dollars? In my opinion, it's the best $12 billion I've ever spent. It's a wonderful tool. You can get in a car, and no matter where you are, you punch in this little, you punch in your destination, and the car will just tell you how to get there. And she'll just talk to you the whole, I mean, it's nice. You got somebody to ride around with, and if you travel a lot like I do, you sometimes find yourself even talking to the person that's in that little box. And Hertz is who I rent most of my cars from, and theirs is called Never Lost. And the whole design behind Never Lost is you're never lost. Even if you turn the wrong direction, she'll say, calculating route. And she'll change you so that to show you exactly how to get back on the right course. But one thing you learn about directions as you travel is if you are going in the wrong direction, you're not going to arrive at the correct destination. Well, Christianity is a lot like that. There's a lot of people today who have headed out in this thing called Christianity. But unfortunately, I'm afraid in the United States of America, all across our country, there are many people who are heading in the wrong direction. And the reality is, if you're traveling in the wrong direction, it doesn't matter how sincere you might be. It doesn't matter how genuine you might be. If you're traveling in the wrong direction, you are not going to arrive at the right destination. Last weekend, together as a church family, we launched into a series to answer the question, what does a Jesus follower look like? The series is called The Life of a Jesus Follower. And this series has basically three parts to the journey. There are three ways for you to connect and be a part of this 7-week journey that we're on. One of them you're doing right now. We're gathering together for 7 weekend services to examine this thing of the life of a Jesus follower, to find out what it looks like, to see if we're headed in the right direction. The second part of the journey is to be involved in a small group. This last week we had connection rallies where you could come and connect in a small group. And tonight you have the opportunity, if you were not able to attend one of the rallies, you can stop at the connection kiosk, or even by Monday morning you'll be able to go online and find a small group that meets on the night that you want to meet on. And I think we have small groups in about 16 or 17 different zip codes across the valley. We have over 50 different small groups meeting, and I think over 30 of them are still open for people to come and be a part of. So we'd love you to connect and be in a small group where you can dig deeper in this understanding of the life of a Jesus follower. And the third part of the journey that we're on together is to read daily out of the Life of a Jesus Follower devotional guide. This is a guide. It's a 42-day devotional guide that was written by our staff team, led by Pastor Mike. And we made those available last weekend. They're $10. And we said, if you don't have the resource to be able to purchase that, we want you to have it anyway. So just take one if you can't purchase it, because we want you to be able to be a part of the journey. So we're in week 2 of this 7-week journey called The Life of a Jesus Follower. And last weekend we made a foundational statement. Here's what we said. The life of a Jesus follower is all about what? Relationships. As you came in and sat down tonight in your seat, there was a little thing that we're calling a listening guide. It looks like this. It's designed for you to be able to just follow along in the message, and you can fill in the blanks and take notes. Then you can use this to take it to your small group as your small group meets together to discuss further this thing of the life of a Jesus follower. But on that listening guide, right at the top, it says the life of a Jesus follower is all about what? Relationships. Well, what do we mean when we say that? Well, last weekend we defined the life of a Jesus follower with three relationships. First of all, we said following Jesus is about a relationship with God. Now, that's the foundation. We said last weekend, if you miss that, you miss everything. Christianity is all about a relationship with God. And we're going to talk about that tonight in particular and next weekend. So we're going to dig deeper there tonight. Secondly, the life of a Jesus follower is all about a relationship with one another. Not only is following Jesus about being in a right relationship with God the Father that is intimate and personal, but it's also about being in right relationship with my brother and sister in Christ. Because I have a relationship with God, I now have a relationship with God's family. And following Jesus is about rightly relating to the family of God. But then there's a third relationship. Following Jesus is all about a relationship with the world. And we said the world are those who have not yet come to Christ, those outside of the family of God. If we are following Jesus, His life, we're being conformed to His image so that His life's being pressed out in our lives, then our lives will be a demonstration of His life. And His life was revolved around a relationship with the Father, with His disciples, and with the unbelieving world. And to follow Jesus means that you and I are also rightly relating with those who do not know Christ, so that through us, Jesus can make Himself known to them, so that they too can be in relationship with God. Well, tonight we're going to focus on this aspect of a relationship with God and to make sure that we are starting out headed in the right direction. We're going to open our Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Mark chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Now, if you have that listening guide, I have these verses for you right there on the listening guide. Because tonight as we go through the message, we're going to come back to these verses over and over again. So you've got them right there on the listening guide if you don't have a Bible with you. And then you'll notice also on the listening guide that these verses are in bold print. Remember what we said last week? Every weekend I'm going to give you one or two or three verses that can kind of be a memory verse for the week. So this week it's Mark chapter 3 verses 13 and 14 that we're challenging you to memorize this week and to meditate on so that you can continue to pull these truths out. Let's look at what it says. Verse 13, "And he, Jesus, went up on the mountain and summoned those whom he himself wanted, and they came to him. And he appointed 12 so that they would be with him, and that he could send them out to preach." Now, what I've just read for you was the very first call to follow Jesus. This is the description, Mark's version of the description of those original 12 disciples being called to follow Jesus. Now, if you and I are seeking with our lives to follow Jesus, what better place can we learn what it's all about than these first followers of Jesus? So out of those two verses, I want to share with you three truths. And here's the first one. Being a Jesus follower begins with an invitation. Being a Jesus follower begins with an invitation. In these verses that I've just read for you, Jesus invited these men. Let me share with you a couple of things about this invitation. Number one, Jesus invited them to follow Him. One of the things that I do when I study the Bible to teach or to preach God's Word is I do what's called a word study. I take the different words that are in the verse, because as we read the Bible in English, the Bible, the New Testament in particular, was originally written in Koine Greek. And so I take those words that we have in English, and I do what's called a word study, where you examine those words in the original language, because sometimes in examining those words in the original language, it allows us to see in an even greater capacity all that God's telling us through His Word. And I took that little word, summoned. You can underline it there on your listening guide. He summoned those whom He Himself wanted. That word summoned is a word that is a compound word in the Greek language. One of the beautiful aspects of Koine Greek, or the Greek language, classical Greek language, is that the verbs are loaded with significance and meaning. Many times in the Greek language, what it would take you and I an entire sentence to say, they just piled it all up in the verb and just packed it in there nice and neatly, and there's a whole sentence worth of meaning just in one simple word. Well, that's the word summoned. It's one of those unique Greek words that is just explosive with meaning. The word is the word proskaleo, and it literally means to call to oneself. Let me show you what I mean by it's a compound word. The word kaleo means to call. And if Jesus had said, the Bible had said, He called them, they would have just used the word kaleo. But they didn't. They stuck the word pros. They jammed that word on the front of it, proskaleo, which literally means to call to one's self. It very clearly speaks to the issue that the invitation here was not an invitation to a destination, but it was an invitation to a relationship with a person. The Bible says He summoned, He called to Himself, He invited them to Himself, He invited them into a relationship personally with Himself. The invitation to follow Jesus is not an invitation to participate in religion. The invitation to follow Jesus is not an invitation to get involved in church. The invitation to follow Jesus is not simply an invitation to moral activity, do's and don'ts. The invitation to follow Jesus is not even simply an invitation to go to heaven when you die. The invitation to follow Jesus is an invitation to enjoy a relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ. It's all about a relationship. A relationship with God. Now, why did God invite them into this relationship? Well, let me share with you the second thing. Jesus invited them to follow Him because He loved them. Look back at verse 13. And He went up on the mountain and summoned those whom He Himself, what does it say? Wanted. He summoned those whom He Himself wanted. The word want is a word that literally means to desire. Here the Bible says that God invited these people into a relationship with Himself because He desired a relationship with them. I think that's significant. He didn't invite them into a relationship with Himself because they wanted a relationship with Him. He invited them into relationship with Himself because He wanted a relationship with them. God desired a fellowship relationship with them. So He invited them. He called them to Himself and extended this invitation. Why? Because He loved them. Can you imagine what this must have been like for these men? Here were these men that all of their lives had heard about the fact that God would send a Messiah. And if they understood the prophet Isaiah, that this Messiah would literally be God in the flesh, the Eternal One, the Wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace. And they meet this man Jesus and understand Him to be the Messiah, God in the flesh. And then God says to them, I want a relationship with you. Think about maybe the person in the world that you would most like to know What if your telephone rang tonight when you got home and the person that you would most like to know on the other end of the line said, "Hey, I'd really like a relationship with you. I'd love to invite you into my life so that we could begin to hang out together and get to know one another." Here the Bible says that God loved these men and He spoke into their life and He invited them into an intimate personal relationship with Himself because He loved them. You say, "Well, Pastor, that's great for them." But He said 12. What good is that for me? I want you to look at another verse of Scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. Look what the Bible says. I want you to read it out loud with me. "This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires..." Stop right there. See the word desire? It's the same word in Mark chapter 3 that is translated wanted. Same exact Greek word. It just, here it's translated by the word desire. In the other context, it's translated by the word want. But it's the exact same word. Here the Bible says it's good and acceptable in the sight of God who desires, and let's pick up right there, all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know what that means? God desires every human being. That's what that little phrase, "all men," that's what it means. Every human being. God desires every human being to be saved. Now we understand what that means. That means to enter into a relationship with God that is a saving relationship. God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know what that means? The exact same thing that came out of the lips of Jesus to these men is what the Word of God is saying to you tonight. God loves you. And God tonight is inviting you not into a religion, not into a system of do's and don'ts, not to ceremonies and rituals, but God loves you and He is inviting you into an intimate, personal relationship with Himself. The word desire can also mean purpose. God's purpose is for all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of... Here's what I think that means. You'll never experience God's full purpose for your life apart from a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. You'll never experience all that life has to offer without knowing Him. God's invitation is to a relationship with Himself because He loves you, but there's a problem. Look at this verse in the book of Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2. It says, "But your iniquities..." Ooh, that's a bad word. It's one of four Hebrew words that's used to simply mean sin. "But your iniquity," but your sin, "has made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear." You see, God's desire is for every human being to enjoy life in the context of a relationship with Himself. But the problem is that sin separates us from God. It's as if God is on one side and all of humanity is on the other side. And there is this great gulf between us called sin that separates us from God. Sin keeps us from being... Yes, it's true that God desires a fellowship relationship with humanity, but God is holy and we're not. And because there's nobody that's perfect, we've all sinned. We're separated from a relationship with God. Oh, but the Bible speaks to a wonderful solution. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look what it says in verse number 5. We read a moment ago, verses 3 and 4 say, God desires all men to be saved, come to the knowledge of the truth. Look what verse 5 says. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men. You know what a mediator is? A mediator is someone who reconciles separated parties. Here's the picture. God's on one side. All of humanity's on the other side. Our sin separates us from God. But the Bible says there is a mediator. Thank God we have a mediator. Amen? There's a mediator. Who is it? The man, Christ Jesus. Jesus stepped in between, took all of the sin upon himself, and he died on the cross for our sin. And now by faith in him, he reconciles us with God and gives us what we could not have left to ourselves. What is that? A relationship with God. Not religion, not do's and don'ts, but a relationship. Let me summarize it. There's a God who created me and desires a relationship with me. But I'm separated from God because of my sin. But God loved me so much, he sent Jesus as a mediator to restore the relationship I'd lost because of sin. Let me share with you the third thing about this invitation. His invitation had to be accepted. Look back in our text in Mark chapter 3. And he went up on a mountain and summoned those whom he himself wanted. And they came to him. The implication of the verse is, Jesus didn't coerce. He didn't manipulate. He didn't put the pressure on. He simply said, follow me. And it was up to them to respond to his invitation. You see, God loves you and he desires a relationship with you. So much so that he sent his son as a mediator to take our sin penalty, to remove that obstacle so that we can be reconciled with God. But God will not force himself on you. You must accept his invitation. By faith, trusting in Jesus as the forgiveness of my sin, so that I can have a relationship with God. The Bible says that's what they did. They came to him. And I love the word came. The word came there that they use is a word that means to set off on a journey. What a great picture. Because to embrace the person of Jesus is not simply a decision that you make in time. To embrace the person of Jesus is to set off on a journey. This journey of a relationship with God that impacts every single area of your life. It really is all about a relationship. And listen, if you start out in the wrong direction, you miss everything. There are good, well-intentioned, sincere people all across this country this weekend who will fill churches thinking it's about do's and don'ts, rituals and ceremonies and religion. And if you do all the right things, maybe God will accept you in the end. Listen, if you start out in the wrong direction, you're not going to wind up at the right destination. It's not about religion, it's about a relationship. Let me give you one last verse to show you this. Listen, the Bible says there's going to come a time when all of us will stand before God. In Matthew chapter 7, look at it on the screen. Matthew chapter 7, I want you to look what the Bible says. Just as Jesus speaking, listen what he says. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? You know what they're saying there? Here's what they're saying. Lord, didn't we do all the right stuff? I mean, can you think of anything more spiritual than performing miracles and casting out demons and prophesying? Lord, didn't we go to church every weekend? Lord, didn't I try to read my Bible every day? Lord, didn't I try to be a good husband and father? Lord, didn't I try to be a good employee or a good employer? Lord, didn't I try to do all the right things? Look what he says. And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. I'm afraid all across our country, there are people trying to dot every I and cross every T. And they've missed the essence of what following Jesus is all about. You see, the invitation was not to do's and don'ts. The invitation was to a relationship. So before I continue on tonight, all right, I'm not finished preaching yet. You're not done. But before I continue on tonight, I want to ask everybody in the building right now to bow your head. Just bow your head right where you are. And I want to ask you, as if it was just you and me sitting in the room, I want to ask you a question. Are you religious? Or do you have a relationship with God? It's very different. You see, He's invited you into a relationship. Do you know Him? You say, well, I'm trying to do all the right things. No, that's not what I'm asking. Do you know Him? As you sit right there before the Lord, I believe there's some of you in this building tonight who maybe for the first time in your life have come to the stark reality that you do not have a relationship with God. You know about Him. You try to do all the right things, but you don't know Him. If you're here tonight and you'd say, Pastor, tonight I'm ready. I recognize now that I don't know Him. I've been trying, but I'm ready to know. I want to accept His invitation. Right now, in your heart before God, if you mean business with Him and you're sincere and you're ready to give your life to Jesus, would you just pray this in your heart after me? Say, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that my sin separates me from You. But Jesus, I know that You came to be my mediator. You died on the cross. You rose again from the dead. And I put my faith and my trust in You. And I accept Your invitation. I receive You into my life. Thank You, Jesus, for saving me. I want you to look this way. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, you just entered into a relationship with God. Listen, not because I said so, because it's what the Bible says. Being a Jesus follower begins with an invitation. Let me give you the second truth. Being a Jesus follower is all about intimacy. It's all about intimacy. What was the purpose of following Him? I want you to look back at Mark chapter 3. Turn back over on that card. Look at it, verse 13. And He went up on the mountain and summoned those whom He Himself wanted, and they came to Him. And He appointed 12. Read the next two words out loud. So that. Stop right there. Anytime you see that little two-word phrase, so that, in the Bible, it should be like a blinking light. Because in the Greek language, it's the word hina, and it means this. For this reason, here's the purpose. The Bible says He invited these men into relationship with Himself so that, read it out loud, they would be with Him. Stop right there. What's the purpose? So that they would what? Be with Him. There's the purpose. The purpose is to be with Him. It's not about do's and don'ts. Some people say, I became a Christian and now the goal of the Christian life is to live for God. Now, I would say every one of us who are Christians, we have a desire to live for God. But Jesus didn't say, I've invited you into relationship with me so you can live for me. No, He said, I've invited you into relationship with me so that you can be with me. It was all about intimacy. It was all about the relationship. Following Jesus, I want to give you a statement. Following Jesus is not about doing, it is about being. We think somehow now that I'm a Christian, it's my job to do. I got to do all these things and not do all these things. I've got to perform all these tasks and I've got to dot every I and cross every T. And Jesus didn't say to these men, hey, I've invited you into relationship with me so you can do all the right things and not do all the wrong things. No, He said, I've invited you into relationship with me so you can be with me. Listen, the goal is the relationship. That's the goal. Can I give you tonight? Let me give you a verse that we looked at last week. I had you last week memorize John 17 and verse 3. I don't know how many of you are able to do that this week, but I'm going to throw you a curveball because I'm going to give it to you in a different translation, all right? I'm going to give it to you in J.B. Phillips' translation of the New Testament. Listen to the way he writes it. And this is eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Him whom you have sent, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, here's the goal. It's all about the relationship. I want to give you the simplest summary of the Christian life you've ever heard. All right? The simplest summary of the Christian life you've ever heard. First of all, I want to give you the overall goal. All right? There's an overall goal in this thing called the Christian life. You know what it is? The overall goal is to know God. It's not to live for God. It's not to do all the right things, not do all the wrong things, not to go to church, get perfect attendance awards. It's not to memorize the Bible. It's to know God. Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know you. Now, if that's the overall goal, let me give you the daily goal. I mean, that's a pretty big goal, to know God. The word know is a word that implies personal fellowship. It's talking about a relational knowledge. So here's the daily goal, all right? Here's your goal today. You ready? To spend time with God. That's it. That's it. That's it. He summoned those whom He Himself wanted, and they came to Him so that they might be with Him. Here's the goal. Spend time with me. We've complicated it, haven't we? You say, what about all the stuff? Listen, everything else simply flows out of the relationship. Sure, there are other things in Scripture the Bible teaches us that we're to do, but those are not us. Those are Christ in us out of the overflow of intimacy with Him. Being a Jesus follower is all about intimacy. It's all about a relationship with Him. Let me ask you a question. What is the most difficult thing in your Christian life for you to do with regularity? Spend time with God. Is that not true? Let me tell you why that's so. Because the enemy knows the game. The enemy knows what I've just shared with you. So he could care less if we fill our schedules doing all the right things and not doing all the wrong things, as long as we don't do the thing, which is intimacy with God. So you know what he's given us? Religion. Religion is Satan's counterfeit for an intimate relationship with God. And he could care less if the entire world is religious, as long as they don't know God. Let me give you the final truth. Being a Jesus follower overflows in every area of my life. I wish I had 30 minutes just on this point. I don't. I know that. I know what time it is, all right? Don't panic. But listen to what he says in verse 14. And he appointed 12 so that they would be with him, and that he could send them out to preach. You say, aha, there it is. There's the dues. No, you missed it. Look at it again. Look at the verse. So that, what's the next word? They, underline the word, they would be with him. And that, what? He, you see the they and the he? They were to be with him. He would send them out to preach. Now you hear the word preach and you think what I'm doing. Some guy standing up in the front with a Bible being loud. But that's not what the word preach here really means. The word preach is a word that simply means to make public. Listen. Out of the overflow of being with him, he, through them, would make his life public. I don't have time to go to it, but there's an example in the book of Acts where they come to Peter and John, and the Bible says they recognized them as having been with Jesus. Jesus didn't bring me in a relationship with himself so that I could go do something for him. He brought me into relationship with himself so that I could be with him, and then he, through my life, could do what only he could do. Let me give you a final statement. Look at it on the screen. Everything Jesus desires to do through you, he will accomplish as the overflow of his relationship with you. Everything he desires to do through you, he will accomplish as the overflow of his relationship with you. Let me give you an illustration from my life. It's about 8 years ago now. 8, 9 years ago, and it's really closer to 10 years ago from this first event. I was in ministry. I was pastoring a church. And I thought I was doing all the right things. And then God brought a real season of brokenness into my life and brought someone into my life that began to disciple me and pour into my life and taught me what, in general, this principle that I've shared with you tonight, that the goal is not ministry, doing. The goal is intimacy, being. And the doing is the overflow of being. And so then the goal became the relationship. So the most important thing in my life every day is not what am I going to do for God, it's am I going to spend time with God. And I started in this process of just pursuing intimacy with God through daily time with Him and really making that the focus of my life. And one morning I was reading in Luke chapter 4. And in Luke chapter 4, Jesus said, I must preach the kingdom to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. And when I read it that morning, I saw something in Jesus that wasn't in me. A passion for God's kingdom to be expanded to other cities. And I got my wife, Christy, and I said, Christy, God's speaking into my heart about this truth, and I think we just need to put our yes on the table. You say, what was the question? We didn't know. We just knew that our yes had to be on the table. If we were going to be conformed to the image of Jesus, He had a passion for the kingdom to be expanded to other cities. So we said, Lord, we don't know where, we don't know when, we don't even know what, but the answer's yes. 2 weeks later, a man called me and said, Vance, our church is starting a church in Las Vegas, Nevada, and we believe you're to be the pastor of that church. There was the question. Now here we are this weekend. This church now is a little over 6 years old. We'll have somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000 people this weekend in 4 services. There are 6 other churches that have been planted out of this church. We're working in 7 nations around the world. Some of our partnerships last year saw over 50, 60,000 people come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now don't miss what I'm saying. God didn't need me for any of that. But let me tell you a question I've asked myself often. What would I have missed if I hadn't have been with Him that morning? You see, God was at work whether I got in on it or not. But He let me get in on it through the relationship. Everything that God's allowed me to be a part of here happened out of the overflow of intimacy with God. I didn't wake up one day and say, you know what I want to do? Christy, let's go do something great for God. Let's move to a city like Las Vegas and start a church. That wasn't even on my radar. I wasn't that spiritual. I'd have never thought of that. But out of the overflow of intimacy with God, I got in on it. Everything Jesus desires to do through you, He will accomplish as the overflow of His relationship with you. Let's pray together.